kids and grandkids. This is too good to be true. So what's the catch? I came to find out that the insurance companies only offer this product if you are in your mid-50s or older. They can't offer 7% forever, so they give a maximum of 20 years. If you are younger, the insurance company obviously can't afford to give you a 7% return in your income account forever. Also, this annuity requires a sizable lump sum deposit up front. I was baffled and frustrated. If this product is this powerful for someone my age, it would be even more powerful for someone in his 20s, 30s, or 40s who has so much time to allow his deposits to compound. That day, I made it my mission to create an affordable solution for younger people. Where else could they build a secure lifetime income plan that would allow them to carve a clear path to financial freedom without all the stress and volatility of the market? Your personal jackpot. Cody Foster and his two partners, David Callinan and Derek Thompson, are living Horatio Alger stories. In 2005, these three buddies sat around his kitchen table in sleepy Topeka, Kansas. They had pooled their life savings, and with $135,000 in the bank, they decided to launch Advisors Excel. You might not have ever heard of Advisors Excel, because they don't service the end consumer. They service only top-tier financial advisors. And service is the understatement of the year. They work with the top insurance companies to give financial advisors access to the most innovative and secure annuities in the country. You could think of their company as the advisor to the advisors. Fast forward just 9 short years. Advisors Excel is now the largest annuity wholesaler in the country with nearly $5 billion in annual deposits. In an industry of firms that have been around for decades, Advisors Excel dominates. In the company's short existence, it's grown so quickly that the three founders have outgrown their office space 5 separate times. Their first location was in the basement of a dentist's office, where they used boxes as a makeshift desk for their first employee. Today, they are in an 80,000-square-foot state-of-the-art facility. Who knows how long until they outgrow that space? When you meet Cody, you would never know that this humble man from Topeka, Kansas, owns a multi-billion-dollar company. He is salt of the earth and hasn't forgotten his roots or the grace of God that he credits for his success. I met Cody for the first time in my hotel in San Jose, California, the morning after he attended a 6,000-person Unleash the Power Within event. We had been brought together for this meeting by my son Josh. The meeting was scheduled for an hour, but ended up going 3 hours, not uncommon in my world. I dove in. Cody, I have an idea that I believe can transform the lives of millions of people by helping them reach their financial goals sooner and with a whole lot less stress and risk. Okay, shoot, he said, and inched to the end of his chair in anticipation. I want to see if we can take what's available for wealthy older folks and give the same opportunity to younger people who may or may not have a lot to invest. A fixed indexed annuity where younger people could contribute monthly, similar to how they would a 401k, and know that for every dollar they contribute, they are guaranteed a lifetime income stream, a personal pension plan. Cody sat back. He seemed slightly skeptical. This was outside the box by a mile. I went into full-on, seminar-style assault mode. I gave him my most passionate plea as to why this solution could be a game-changer. Engaging with the millennials is the holy grail for the financial services industry, as they are independent self-thinkers and notoriously tough to reach. And studies show that they aren't huge fans of the stock market. Just as they were getting their feet wet, the crash of 2008 wiped out the little they had saved. Even worse, one study by LIMRA, the largest trade association for the life insurance and financial services industry, found that Gen Xers lost 55% of their median net worth between 2005 and 2010. Ouch. Now they want guarantees. They want protection. They want income, and they want it to be easy. Cody began to nod. He understood what I was thinking, but he also knew the challenges. After all, he has been in this industry since graduating college and intimately knows the limitations and strengths of each of the biggest insurance companies in the world. Tony, I can see what you're going after, but you need to understand the business. Insurance companies can't do this for somebody younger because what makes lifetime income annuities work and what makes the insurance numbers work is that they are driven by understanding mortality rates. And at 55, they know your lifespan on average, and they can make financial decisions based on that. It's harder to do it at 45 or 35 or heck, 25. I had anticipated this answer and had an idea. What if you gave them a guarantee that they won't lose their money, first and foremost? And since it costs more to insure their future income, why not give them a smaller annual growth guarantee, and then you can add to it whatever upside the index in the stock market brings? That could end up being more than 7%, especially for younger people in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, because they have so much time for their investments to compound. Most people know that over time the stock market has produced the greatest growth, but the problem is the risk of those nasty market drops. You could give them upside without the downside on their deposits and a guaranteed income for life. You still have to make it affordable by not requiring a lump sum payment up front, but instead only small monthly payments in the amount they choose. And with this approach, the insurance company won't have to worry about super long life expectancies. And the client has the potential for much higher income streams since the majority of the income is tied to the market upside. Cody liked the idea because over long periods of time, the market will perform for investors, especially when you're only participating in the up years. But one major hurdle remained. Tony, the way I see it, this product would need to be efficient and lean. But traditionally, the most expensive aspect when pricing an annuity is the commission. Insurance companies pay commissions up front from their own pocket, so they aren't deducted from the customer's account. So for this to work, insurance companies can't afford to pay large amounts of compensation to sell this, which means it is tough to get traditional agents to sell it. It is a catch-22. Again, I had a counter prepared. What if they don't pay any upfront commissions, I asked. Think outside the box in terms of sales. 50 years ago, life insurance was sold door to door. Today, you can do it online and never speak to a salesman, and as a result, it's now ultra convenient and cheaper than ever before. This new annuity should follow suit. Younger ages actually prefer not to talk to anyone. Cut out the middleman. This should be as simple as going online, deciding how much money you want to invest per month, and having it deducted automatically from your checking account. Set it and forget it. The site could project exactly how much income it will provide for you at a future age, 50, 55, 60, depending on how much you can afford to set aside. With just a few clicks, a person could be set up with an income plan for life. They don't have to be rich or old to take advantage. Heck, they could even track it with an app on their iPhone. Cody was catching the vision. So I asked him, Cody, how many lives do you think this could impact? How many lives could be touched if you guys used your sway with the insurance companies to create a product that anyone could access and would provide them with a more secure financial future? Cody smiled. Over the years? Millions. Tens of millions, the vast majority of America. Being a small-town farm boy who grew up on the lower end of middle class, my words struck a chord. Cody is incredibly benevolent with his wealth and wants everyone to get a fair shot, especially a fair shot at financial freedom. Cody left the hotel. He was on fire. He left on a mission to see if he could use his influence to convince the world's largest insurance companies to build a lifetime income plan solution for younger ages and with smaller deposit requirements. Fast forward. Just a few years back, the minimum age for most fixed indexed annuities was 50 or 55, depending on the company, and most required a minimum $20,000 to $50,000 deposit. And finding a guaranteed lifetime income rider for the younger marketplace, below 50, was virtually impossible. But the game has now officially changed. I'm proud to report to you that through the efforts of my partnership with Advisors Excel, we have managed to get some of the largest insurance companies in the world to begin to set up and build new, revolutionary products for you, regardless of your age or income level. These new FIAs provide benefits such as guarantee of your principal, whatever money you've invested you'll never lose, the upside without the downside, you participate in 100% of the stock market index growth. That's right, 100% of the upside with no downside, no chance of loss, and no cap on your winnings. The insurance company simply shares in your profits by taking a small spread ranging between 1.25% and 1.75%. If the market is up 10% and it keeps 1.5%, you get 8.5% credited to your account value. Conversely, if the market is down in a given year, the insurance company does not keep anything and you don't lose a dime or pay any fees. You only pay the spread if you make money. To understand how powerful this arrangement really is, I came up with a metaphor when I was having dinner with a buddy at the Wynn Encore in Las Vegas. I looked out over the casino floor and said to my friend, "Imagine this casino had a special gaming table reserved only for VIPs. The rules would be that you could gamble all night and you would never lose a dollar. No matter what happened, Steve Wynn would guarantee that you would leave with what you started, a guarantee of your principal. If you win, you get to keep all of your gains with the exception that the house gets to keep 1.5% of your winnings. How much would you bet? How long would you play if you knew you couldn't lose and if you win, you just had to pay a small portion of your upside?" He smiled. "As much as I could, for as long as I could." I laughed. "Me too. That's exactly what this fixed indexed annuity does, and now it's no longer limited to older people with lots of money. There are also no annual management fees or sales charges that come out of your account. If you'd like to have a guaranteed income for life, you can select that optional income rider as well. When you do this, you'll have two accounts that compete with each other. One, a base account that accumulates as the stock market grows and locks in its returns each year as we described earlier. And two, an income account where, depending upon the issuing insurance company your annuity is created by, you'll have a guaranteed rate of return or a combination of guarantee and market performance. To your benefit, the income you'll receive will be based on whichever account is larger at the time you decide you want the income. Most importantly, on top of all this, Cody was able to influence the insurance companies to eliminate the lump sum payment and make this financial vehicle available to almost anyone. The days of needing $25,000 to $50,000 to get started are gone. Now you can start with a small initial deposit as low as $300. You can even set up the convenience of a monthly auto-deduction program from a checking account so that your Freedom Fund is growing every month into a personal pension, an income for life. Even if you have a very small amount or no amount in other investments, this product can be a phenomenal place to start. Why? Because it gives you the upside of the stock market index without the downside. Imagine knowing that for every dollar you contribute, you are guaranteeing yourself a lifetime income stream. The more you save, the higher your income will be, and you are guaranteed not to lose your deposits. Since there are thousands of income annuity products with a wide range of income payouts, Cody and his team have established a website to educate and empower you when it comes to finding and selecting the right annuity products for your specific situation. You can find it online at lifetimeincome.com. And in just a few simple steps, you can quickly and easily set up your lifetime income plan. Within seconds, you can calculate your potential future income based on how much you can afford to contribute. Regardless of your age, the system will reveal the best approach for you and show you the most competitive income payouts available. So whether you are younger and want a flexible, smaller monthly contribution, or if you are over 50 and have a lump sum and are looking for longevity insurance, the system will guide you to the best income solution. You have the option to set it up online, over the phone with a specialist, or be connected to an annuity advisor in your hometown. Lifetime Income has a network of over 500 annuity specialists in all 50 states. They will also provide a free review and analysis of any existing annuities you might have to see if you should hang on to the one you have or transfer your account value to a different insurance company in a tax-free exchange. As I mentioned, when coupled with the All Seasons portfolio, the right lifetime income product is a powerful combo. Lifetime Income is the exclusive annuity provider for Stronghold, so if an annuity is just a portion of your overall asset allocation and just part of your security bucket, you can also access these same products through Stronghold. They will connect you to an annuity specialist. Tools of the 0.001%. We have come a long way. Not only do we have the mindset of an insider, we have the tools of the insiders. In this section alone, We have learned a powerful portfolio model from icon Ray Dalio that has proven resilient throughout every economic season since 1925. And most people have to invest $100 million to get his insights. We can be confident that his portfolio model will survive and over the long term thrive in all environments. We have also learned how correctly structured income insurance, an annuity, can give us a paycheck for life without having to work for it. And not only that, with the right fixed indexed annuity, our deposits can participate in 100% of the upside of the market/index, but avoid losses when the market goes down. A security bucket with some excitement. Although there are many approaches to achieve financial freedom, the 1-2 punch of an all-seasons portfolio and the certainty of a guaranteed lifetime income stream is a powerful combination for peace of mind. But once you build your wealth, you also must protect it. Protect it for you and for your children. The ultra-wealthy protect their wealth with an entourage of extremely sophisticated advisors. So who or what do they protect it from? Let's find out the secrets of the ultra-wealthy. Frequently asked questions. Here are a handful of common questions that seem to come up when people learn about fixed indexed annuities. What happens if I die early? If you die before turning on your income stream, your entire account balance is left to your heirs. This is a huge benefit over a traditional income annuity. When you do decide to eventually turn on your lifetime income stream with a simple phone call, you do not forfeit your entire account to the insurance company. Your heirs would still get your account balance minus any income payments you had taken to that point. Can I take money out in case of an emergency? Most FIAs allow you to withdraw up to 10 to 15% of your account without any penalty or surrender charge. Keep in mind, if you make this withdrawal prior to age 59 and a half, you will be charged a 10% penalty by the IRS, which is standard for any investment that gives you tax deferral on the growth. If you need all your money back, you can surrender your annuity and get your money out, plus any growth. However, this withdrawal may incur a surrender charge, depending on how long you have owned the annuity. A surrender charge is really a self-imposed penalty because you are taking your money back early. The typical schedule will start at 10% and go down by 1% per year until you reach 0%. So if you've held the annuity for 5 years, you would have a 5% charge if you surrender the contract and get all your money back. Any money invested in this vehicle should be considered money invested for the long term. What are the fees within an FIA? There are no annual management fees withdrawn from your account. However, if you elect the Guaranteed Lifetime Income Rider, the annual fee for this ranges between 0.75% and 1.25% annually, depending on each company's individual offerings. Can I put my IRA money into an annuity? Yes, you can use money from your IRA or Roth IRA, or you can also use after-tax dollars, money you have already paid tax on, to fund an annuity. This scenario is also known as qualified or non-qualified dollars, both of which can be used. What is the cap or ceiling on my account growth and how is it determined? The cap is the ceiling on how much of the market growth you get to keep. The cap is typically tied to interest rates. If interest rates are higher, the cap is high, and vice versa. Some newer products offer 100% upside with no cap, but they take a small spread, which is a share of your upside slash profits. If the market is up 10%, you might get 8.75% credited to your account, which means they kept a 1.25% spread. But if the market goes down, they don't take anything, and you don't lose a dime. I like these uncapped strategies because they give the highest upside potential in a given year. To what underlying markets will my account be linked? The most popular index is the S&P 500, but newer indexes are being added quite frequently. For example, some accounts can be linked to the Barclays Dynamic Balanced Index, a mix of stocks and bonds, or the Morgan Stanley Dynamic Allocation Index, a mix of 12 different sectors. Some indexes are even tied to commodities. What factors will determine how much income I get? The amount that you contributed to the annuity, the length of time before you decide to access your income stream, and your age at the time your income begins are the primary factors which will ultimately contribute to the amount of income you'll receive. However, the biggest factor is the product you select. Every annuity contract is different in the amount of contractually guaranteed income it will provide, so it's important you understand this before you pull the trigger. What is the tax treatment of an FIA? The growth within your FIA is tax-deferred. When you turn on the income stream, you will be paying ordinary income tax rates on the lifetime income payments. Because the government is giving you tax deferral, they will penalize you if you take money out before 59.5. If you own the FIA within a Roth IRA, there will be no tax on the gains nor any tax on the lifetime income stream. Chapter 5.5. Secrets of the Ultra-Wealthy that You Can Use Too. It's viewed as an insider secret for the affluent, a legal way to invest all without paying taxes on the gains. New York Times, February 9, 2011. A new world record. In early 2014, the Guinness Book of World Records announced that a new world record had been established. No, it wasn't for the tallest man in the world or the world's longest fingernails. It was a record that went largely unnoticed. Mystery billionaire buys record-breaking $201 million life insurance policy. Why in the world would a billionaire buy life insurance? Won't his kids be just fine if he passes away prematurely? Or was the media missing the point? Believe it or not, although the ultra-wealthy do indeed buy astronomical amounts of life insurance, it's not the billionaires who buy the most. The biggest buyers are banks and large corporations, from Walmart to Wells Fargo. As an example, Wells Fargo's balance sheet shows $18.7 billion of its Tier 1 capital deposited in life insurance cash value as of May 27, 2014. By the way, Tier 1 capital is the core measure of a bank's financial strength. Contrary to what the media says, corporations and the ultra-wealthy are not looking to benefit from anyone's death. What they really want is a place to park their cash in an IRS-sanctioned vehicle, which allows them to grow their investments tax-free. Sound too good to be true? In fact, it's very much like a Roth IRA in terms of tax treatment. You pay taxes when you earn your money, income, but once you deposit your after-tax dollars within a specific type of life insurance policy, the IRS says you aren't required to pay taxes as it grows. And if structured correctly, more in a moment, you aren't required to pay taxes when you pull money out. So while it is life insurance, it's really designed to benefit you while you are alive. So if it's good enough for billionaires and the world's largest corporations, it's probably good enough for us. Let's dive in and figure out how to take this powerful tax planning tool and accelerate our path toward financial freedom. Rich man's Roth. The strategy ahead, known as Private Placement Life Insurance, PPLI, has been called the secret of the affluent by the New York Times, and for good reason. I was introduced to this tool by two of the wealthiest individuals I know. But you don't have to be ultra-wealthy to take advantage. Many high-income earners, such as doctors, lawyers, and small business owners, will find tremendous value in the information ahead. But those with as little as a few thousand to invest will learn how to create a version of the structure that will provide all the same benefits. Here are the astounding benefits available to all. Unlimited deposit amounts with no income limitations. No tax on the growth of your investments. No tax when accessed if structured correctly. And any money left over for your heirs cannot be taxed. Let's not just breeze over this as a pretty cool strategy. This is essentially removing part or all your nest egg from the tax system entirely. Never again will you pay tax on growth of your investments or the money you access within this structure. This is why the media sometimes calls PPLI the rich man's Roth. Consider this quote from the Wall Street Journal. The main attraction. Because the investments are held within an insurance wrapper, gains inside the policy are shielded from income taxes, as is the payout upon death. What's more, Policyholders may be able to access their money during their lifetimes by withdrawing or borrowing funds tax-free from the policy, depending on how it's set up. One big reason for the growth? In recent years, the Internal Revenue Service has issued a series of rulings and regulations that have laid out more clearly what's allowable and what's not in private placement life insurance and annuities. That, in turn, has removed uncertainty among insurance and investors. Rachel Emma Silverman, Insuring Against Hedge Fund Taxes, Wall Street Journal, October 18, 2006. By taking taxes out of the equation, the time it takes to reach your critical mass and financial independence will be massively accelerated. No longer do you have to worry about how much of your money will actually be yours to spend after the tax man takes his bite of your apple. In fact, one of the biggest challenges in knowing how much money you will really need in the future is the unknown of what tax rates will be for you in the future. Remember, taxes can easily be raised, and suddenly the amount of spendable income you have shrinks. If you're planning on a 50% tax rate, but taxes in the future on the wealthy increase to 70%, or you're currently at 30% and taxes grow to 50% for your income class, the amount of money you thought would get you to financial freedom will no longer get you there. Let's look at an example of how you can use this tool to achieve financial security or independence in less than half the time, or double the amount of spendable cash you have if you keep the same investment horizon. If you're a high-end earner, like a doctor, dentist, lawyer, or small business owner, you may be fortunate enough to earn $250,000 per year of pre-tax income. As a high-income earner, that means that after tax, assuming a 50% combined federal and state rate, you will net approximately $125,000. This is the amount you need today to support your current lifestyle. It's your total spendable income. Traditional financial planning would say you need to accumulate 20 times your current income, or $5 million in critical mass, to generate $250,000 of pre-tax income, assuming a 5% withdrawal rate. But if you aren't required to pay tax and the actual income you need is $125,000 without taxes, you really only need to accumulate 20 times $125,000, or a total critical mass of just $2.5 million within this structure. That means you get to your goal 50% faster, or you get twice the spendable income if you reach your original goal of critical mass in the same time. Now, if you make $50,000 a year, you may be saying, so what? Isn't that nice for the rich man or woman? Stay with me here while I explain how this works for the rich, and then I'll show you how to make this work for anyone who wants to get to their financial goals 30% to 50% faster, and all with the total support of the IRS, just as it supports 401ks or Roths. Isn't life insurance expensive? When my attorney initially told me about PPLI, I had an immediate aversion when the words life insurance were uttered. Like most, I had been sold expensive retail life insurance in the past and wasn't going to be taken again. She went on to explain, Tony, this is not your typical retail life insurance. You can't buy this off the shelf from a salesman with well-coiffed hair and a gold Rolex. This is an institutionally priced policy with no commissions, no surrender charges, or other nonsense you encounter from retail agents. Think of it as an insurance wrapper you are buying to place around your investments. And because of the specific tax code, which has been around for many decades, all of your deposits will be legally sheltered from tax in this insurance wrapper. They can be invested in a variety of different funds, and you will not pay tax on the growth or when you access your cash if we do it right. Tax-free compounding. Compounded over time, the advantage of private placement life insurance is astounding. Let's look at an example of how the identical investment compares when wrapped inside of PPLI, versus taking the standard approach of paying tax each year. Let's take a healthy male, age 45, and assume he makes 4 annual deposits of $250,000 for a total contribution of $1 million over 4 years. If he makes a 10% return and has to pay tax each and every year after 40 years, his total account balance will be $7 million. Not bad, right? But if he wraps the investment with private placement life insurance and pays a relatively small amount for the cost of insurance, his ending balance, cash value, at the end of 40 years, is just over $30 million. Same investment strategy, but he is left with more than four times, or 400%, as much money for him and his family by simply using the tax code to his advantage. Please note that there are very strict rules around the investment management, which must be done by a third-party investment professional, not the policy owner. By the way, this same powerful advantage applies even on smaller investment amounts. This is compounding without taxes. But then I wanted to know, what about when I want to access my money? Taking money out. The power of PPLI is that you don't have to worry about what tax rates are in the future. During the course of your investment lifetime, you will never again pay taxes on the gains that are within this policy. But what if you need the cash? Well, like any vehicle in which the government grants the benefit of tax deferral, you will have to pay tax if you take a withdrawal. But, and it's a huge but, you also have the ability to borrow from your policy. In other words, you can call the insurance company and access your cash value, but it's legally deemed and actually is a loan, and loans are not taxable. You can repay the loans at a future date of your choosing, or allow the life insurance proceeds to pay off the loans when you pass away. It's a legitimate loan, and it does get paid off. One more huge benefit to stack on? Life insurance death benefit proceeds are income tax-free when your kids receive the benefit. Do you qualify? In order to access PPLI, you must be what's called an accredited investor, and the typical minimum annual deposits are $250,000 for a minimum of 4 years. However, there is a version of PPLI that is now available to investors non-accredited with as little as a few thousand to invest. Founded in 1918 by visionary Andrew Carnegie to serve teachers, TIAA CREF functions without profit to the corporation or its shareholders. They now offer financial services to the general public, but their unique not-for-profit structure allows them to offer a life insurance product with no sales or surrender charges. The underlying investment options within the policy include low-cost index funds, such as dimensional fund advisors, which is in keeping with what we have learned from many experts in the book. And the tax benefits are no different from what we have learned regarding PPLI. Remember, being a no-load product with no commission, there won't be insurance agents knocking down your door to sell you this product, so you will need to visit the TIAA CREF website at tiaa-cref.org and acquire it on your own or ask a fiduciary advisor to help guide you in setting up a policy. As a fiduciary, your representative cannot take in commissions. If they are skilled in this area and have a full understanding of how to set up this tax-efficient strategy, they will be doing you a great service. Depending on your current tax rate, it could help you achieve your goals 30% to 50% faster with no additional risk. Of course, if you are a Stronghold client, we have a team that can arrange all these details for you. The Billionaire's Playbook. What a journey we have been on. We conquered the jungle with Ray Dalio and learned how a portfolio designed for all seasons has provided a smooth ride for nearly 75 years. We learned how to create a guaranteed lifetime income plan and achieve upside without downside with income insurance. And finally, we learned how a rare no-load life insurance policy can give us the equivalent of a Roth IRA without income or deposit limitations. Now it's time for the grand finale. The opportunity, the gift, to sit down and learn directly from some of the most brilliant minds in the financial universe. To hear what has shaped them into who they are today and what they would teach their children on how to be successful investors. So let's get ready to meet the masters. But first, one more quick but important note about protecting your family. Living trust. The wealthy are diligent about planning to protect their families. One of the simplest things you can do to protect your family is to establish a living revocable trust. The key benefit to using a living trust to own your core assets, i.e. your home, brokerage account, etc., is if you pass away, those assets will avoid probate, a costly and lengthy procedure of allowing the courts to sort through your assets and make everything public record. But unlike a will, a living trust can also protect you and your family while you are alive. If you become ill or incapacitated, you can include an incapacity clause which allows someone to step in and handle your bills and other affairs. Don't let experts tell you that a living trust costs thousands. You can get a template model for free by visiting the website getyourshittogether.org. Chanel Reynolds started this nonprofit site after her husband was killed in a bike accident, and she wanted to make sure that nobody else went through the same experience of being unprepared. If you want to understand more about how simple and important living trusts are, go to her site. In addition, if you want assistance, you can always find an expensive attorney, but you can also use the LegalZoom website at LegalZoom.com and set one up for as little as $250 with the help of its attorneys. I'm including this reminder for you here because even though this book is not designed to be an estate planning tool, one important responsibility we all have is to make sure that whatever wealth we build, however large or small it may be, that our families benefit from it and don't get stuck in a legal process that drains the gift from our heirs. As you begin to succeed, please seek out quality assistance when thinking about estate planning. But in the meantime, don't wait to set up a living trust. Everyone needs one. Section 6. Invest like the 0.001%, the Billionaire's Playbook. Chapter 6.0. Meet the Masters. There are not more than 5 primary colors, yet in combination they produce more hues than can ever be seen. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. 4 years ago, I began an amazing journey to find a way for individual investors like you to take control of your money in a system that seems rigged against you. I vowed to bring you the best possible information from the most knowledgeable and influential experts in the world. What a trip it's been. Since then, I've interviewed more than 50 self-made billionaires, Nobel Prize winners, investment titans, best-selling authors, professors, and financial legends, asking them some of the same questions you'd ask if you were in the room with me. Here's a sampling. What is your competitive advantage in investing? What sets you apart? What insights have allowed you to dominate the markets decade after decade? Is the game still winnable? How can individual investors thrive in the volatility of today's economy? What are the biggest challenges around the world and what are the biggest opportunities for investors today? And perhaps the most important of all, if you couldn't leave any of your money to your children, but only a portfolio or a set of financial principles to pass on to help them thrive, what would it be? Their answers excited me, shocked me, sometimes made me laugh. Other times they moved me to tears. It was beyond any university education one could imagine. It was the ultimate PhD in investing straight from the trenches where my professors were moving markets and shaping the world economy while they were coaching me one-on-one. My mission has been to synthesize the best of all they've shared into an integrated, simple 7-step financial blueprint, one that you could use in a practical way to move from where you are now to where you truly want to be. I wish I could bring them all to you, but their voices are all captured in this book, whether directly quoted or not. The amount of time I've spent with each of them ranged from the more than 20 years I've counted Paul Tudor Jones as my dear friend and client, to an informal 20 minutes with Warren Buffett, who I grabbed for a short conversation in the green room while we were filming a series of segments together for the Today Show. Most of the interviews were scheduled for an hour or less, but turned into 3- or 4-hour sessions. Why? Because each of these financial giants was interested in going deep when they saw that I wasn't there for just some shallow questions. My mission to serve you, the individual investor, moved them. They were all incredibly generous with their precious time. The diversity of conversation was extraordinary. I had the privilege of bringing together some of the most brilliant financial minds in the world. One of the more interesting was at my financial conference in Sun Valley, Idaho. I interviewed Larry Summers, formerly the U.S. Secretary of Treasury, Director of the National Economic Council, and advisor to President Obama in the midst of the world economic crisis. We talked about what was done and what needs to be done to turn around the U.S. economy. Publisher and former Republican presidential candidate Steve Forbes was listening to Summers and raised his hand with a question. You can only imagine the respectful sparks that flew. Another moment, when I learned that Carl Icahn had been a fan of Jack Bogle's for years, but they had never met. I had the privilege of introducing these two titans. Between them, they have more than a century of investing experience. Jack invited me to join them for the meeting, but I was out of the country. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be a fly on that wall when they finally met? The crazy part is, after all the time I've spent with each of these experts, you'll only hear 10 to 15 minutes of each interview. To keep this section from taking hours to listen to, I'm including highlights from just 11 of the interviews. Well, 11 plus one bonus. Even though he's passed away, I couldn't leave out the interview I conducted with Sir John Templeton, one of the greatest investors of all time and an extraordinary soul. Like all experts, the money masters you'll be hearing from have different views of what the near-term future might hold, and they have different opinions on which investment vehicles they favor most. Some are short-term traders, some like to hold long-term. Some think the index is the way to go, while others swear you can make more money in arbitrage. So even though they sometimes disagree on tactics, we can applaud how often these money masters take different paths to the same goals. And one thing is for certain, all of them are great leaders. Take the exceptional Mary Callahan Erdos, who leads 22,000 financial professionals, including some of the finest portfolio managers in the world, overseeing an astonishing $2.5 trillion in assets for J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Or Chuck Schwab, who transformed an industry with his obsession to serve and protect the individual investor, building a company with 8.2 million client brokerage accounts and $2.38 trillion in assets served by 300 offices around the world. The interviews ahead will show you that there are many ways to win, many ways to succeed financially and become wealthy in the world we live in today. Even though each of these financial legends has a distinct approach, I found there are at least four common obsessions. 1. Don't lose. Every single one of these masters, while driven to deliver extraordinary returns, is even more obsessed with making sure they don't lose money. Even the world's greatest hedge fund managers, who you'd think would be comfortable taking huge risks, are actually laser-focused on protecting their downside. From Ray Dalio to Kyle Bass to Paul Tudor Jones, if you don't lose, you live to fight another day. As Paul said, "I care deeply about making money. I want to know I'm not losing it. The most important thing for me is that defense is 10 times more important than offense. You have to be very focused on the downside at all times." And this statement comes from a guy who's made money for his clients for 28 consecutive years. It's so simple, but I can't emphasize it enough. Why? If you lose 50%, it takes 100% to get back to where you started. And that takes something you can never get back. Time. 2. Risk a little to make a lot. While most investors are trying to find a way to make a good return, each of these Hall of Famers, without exception, looks for something completely different. Home runs. They live to uncover investments where they can risk a little and make a lot. They call it asymmetric risk/reward. You'll note how Sir John Templeton's path to great gains with the least risk was not by buying the market, but waiting until, as the 18th century English nobleman Baron Rothschild put it, there is blood in the streets and everybody is desperate to sell. That's when you pick up the best bargains. Paul Tudor Jones, on the other hand, follows trends in the market, but as he says in his interview, he doesn't make an investment until he can potentially get a return of at least $5 for every dollar he risks. And that, he says, is a $150,000 MBA in a nutshell. In Kyle Bass's interview, you'll learn how he figured out how to risk just 3% to make 100% returns, and how he parlayed that victory into more than a 600% return. 3. Anticipate and diversify. The best of the best anticipate. They find the opportunity for asymmetric risk/reward. They really do their homework until they know in their gut that they are right, unless they're not. And to protect themselves, they anticipate failure by diversifying. Because in the end, all great investors have to make decisions with limited information. When I interviewed Kyle Bass's former partner, Mark Hart, he told me, "A lot of brilliant people are terrible investors. The reason is that they don't have the ability to make decisions with limited information. By the time you get all the information, everyone else knows it, and you no longer have the edge. T. Boone Pickens says it this way. Most people say ready, aim, aim, but they never fire. 4. You're never done. Contrary to what most people would expect, this group of achievers is never done. They're never done learning, they're never done earning, they're never done growing, they're never done giving. No matter how well they've done or how well they've continued to do, they never lose their hunger, the force that unleashes human genius. Most people would think, if I had all this money, I would just stop. Why keep working? Because each believes, somewhere in his or her soul, that to whom much is given, much is expected. Their labor is their love. Just like these money masters invest in different ways, they give back in different ways. They share their time, they share their money, they create foundations, they invest in others. Each of them has come to realize that true meaning in life comes from giving. They feel a responsibility to use their gifts to serve others. As Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." What unites them is the ultimate truth that life is about more than what you have. It's really about what you have to give. So how will the Billionaire's Playbook serve you as an investor? It means that you can sit by my side as I ask 12 of the greatest minds in finance how you can uncover your own path to financial freedom. You'll gain insight into how they became the title holders in the field of finance and how you, too, have to stay alert and be ready for anything that happens. You'll learn investment strategies that will prepare you for all seasons, for times of inflation and deflation, of war and peace, and as Jack Bogle puts it, times of sorrow and joy. Chapter 6.1. Carl Icahn, Master of the Universe. The Most Feared Man on Wall Street. Question. When is a single tweet worth $17 billion? Answer. When Carl Icahn says Apple is undervalued and announces he's buying the stock. Within an hour of Icahn's tweet in the summer of 2013, Apple stock had jumped 19 points. The market got the message. Whenever the billionaire businessman takes an interest in a company, it's time to buy. 4 months later, Time magazine put his face on the cover with the headline, "Master of the Universe." They go on to say he's the most important investor in America. That's right. In the past 4 decades, Icahn's ventures have earned 50% more than that other investment icon, Warren Buffett. A recent analysis by Kiplinger shows that while most people think of Buffett as providing the greatest returns through time, if you'd invested with Icahn in 1968, in 2013 you would have had a compounded return of 31% versus Berkshire Hathaway, Buffett's company, with only a 20% return. Icahn's business skills have made him one of the richest men in the world. At last check of the Forbes list, he was 27th, with a net worth of more than $23 billion. And he's made billions more for ordinary shareholders who invest in his diversified holding company, Icahn Enterprises LP, NASDAQ IEP, or own stock in the companies he targets. The secret to his success? Even his critics will tell you, Carl Icahn doesn't just look for opportunities in business, he makes them. But most outsiders still think of him as a Wall Street caricature, a ruthless vulture capitalist who pillages companies for personal gain. When you Google the term corporate raider, Icahn's name auto-fills in the search bar. But Carl Icahn is challenging that creaky old stereotype. Icahn thinks of himself as a shareholder activist, and what does that mean? We go in and shine a light on public companies that are not giving shareholders the value they deserve, he told me. His obsession, he says, is to stop the abuse of stockholders by improving corporate governance and accountability, which makes American companies stronger and therefore the American economy stronger. The New York Times describes him this way. By rattling corporate boards, mounting takeover efforts, and loudly jostling for change at companies, he has built a multi-billion dollar fortune, inspiring fear among chief executives and admiration among his fellow investors in the process. Icahn buys up shares of top-heavy or underperforming companies, and then puts them on notice that it's time to step up their game. or face a proxy fight for control of the board. He sees himself in a battle with those who use the coffers of public companies to enrich themselves at the expense of the shareholders. "Tony, people have no idea how they're getting screwed," he said. "Average investors aren't aware of the abuses that go on behind the closed doors of boardrooms," he says. "But part of the problem is that shareholders don't believe they have the power to change things because they don't think like owners. Icahn, however, knows the power of leverage, and he's not afraid to use it." $24 billion for Coca-Cola management incentives? An example of the kind of action that public company boards take that outrage Icahn can be found in his criticism of Coca-Cola recently. Coke was planning to dilute the company's stock value by issuing $24 billion in new discounted shares. The reason? To finance huge compensation packages for top management. This would weaken the retirement investments of ordinary investors, teachers, and firefighters because so many people have Coke stock in their retirement portfolios. Icahn wrote an editorial in Barron's blasting the company for the scheme and calling out Warren Buffett, Coca-Cola's single largest shareholder and a board member, for not voting against the move. "Too many board members think of the board as a fraternity or club where you must not ruffle feathers," Icahn wrote. "This attitude serves to entrench mediocre management." Buffett responded that he had abstained from the vote, but that he was opposed to the plan, and that he had been quietly talking to management about reducing their excessive pay proposal, but he didn't want to go to war with Coke over the issue. In contrast, Carl Icahn is always ready for war. He's been in the trenches many times before, making runs on companies as diverse as U.S. Steel, Clorox, eBay, Dell, and Yahoo. But this time was different. Instead of Icahn, a younger fund manager named David Winters was buying stock and leading the charge against Coke's management. To the dismay of overpaid CEOs everywhere, a new generation of activist investors is taking up the fight Icahn started decades ago. Naturally, Carl Icahn has ticked off a lot of corporate dynamos, enemies with big clout in the media. So you'll often hear Icahn's critics saying that he's only in it for the money, or that he pumps and dumps stocks, sacrificing long-term corporate goals for short-term profits. But Icahn points out this is ridiculous and that he often holds his positions for much longer than people realize, sometimes 10, 15, even 30 years. And when he does take control of a company, its value continues to rise for years even after he's left. This claim has been borne out by a study conducted by Harvard Law School professor Lucian Bebchuk, who studied 2,000 activist campaigns from 1994 to 2007. It concluded that operating performance improves following activist interventions. The study also found that not only were there no detrimental long-term effects, but instead 5 years later these firms continued to outperform. Carl Icahn isn't after the head of every CEO in America. He's often acknowledged that there are some extraordinary leadership teams out there, and executives who maximize company resources and make the economy more resilient. But he's always looking for ways to make the management, even of the most popular and well-run corporations, more responsive to shareholders. Take that Apple tweet, for example. "He told me he wasn't trying to drive up the price and sell his stock. On the day of our interview, he bought a large amount of Apple stock. And he wasn't trying to interfere with the company's management, which he thinks is solid. The tweet was just part of a campaign to pressure Apple to return $150 billion of its cash reserves to its shareholders as dividends. The company eventually expanded its capital return program to over $130 billion in April 2014, including an increase in its share repurchase authorization to $90 billion from the previously announced $60 billion level, announcing at the same time an increase to its quarterly dividend and a 7-for-1 stock split. Today, Apple is 50% higher than the day he did the tweet." Icahn is a CEO himself, owning 88% of a public company, Icahn Enterprises. The company's stock has done amazingly well, even during the so-called lost decade. If you'd invested in Icahn Enterprises from January 1, 2000 to July 31, 2014, you would have made a total return of 1,622%, compared with 73% on the S&P 500 index. Carl Icahn wasn't born into this life. He says he grew up in the streets of Far Rockaway, New York. His mother was a teacher, his father a former law student and a frustrated opera singer who worked as a cantor at a local synagogue. Carl played poker to pay for his expenses at Princeton, where he majored in philosophy. After a brief attempt at medical school and a stint in the army, and more poker, he realized his greatest talent was for making money. Corporate America has never been the same. Icahn is now 78 years old and thinking about his legacy. He's been busy writing op-ed pieces and giving select interviews about the rights of investors and shareholders. But frankly, he's sick of being misunderstood and quoted out of context, which is why, not knowing who I was or my true intent, he asked that my video crew not film our interview and stated, "I'll give you a few minutes." To my great relief, Icahn warmed up after those first awkward moments, and 2.5 hours later, I was lingering with him in the hallway, being introduced to Gail, his extraordinary wife of 15 years. Carl is very different from his public persona. He's funny and curious, even grandfatherly. His friends say he's mellowed a bit, but he still talks with a Queens accent, and he still has the sharp edge of a New York street brawler. Icahn says he's not the kind of guy who gives up, especially when he's found something worth fighting for. Tony Robbins. You come from a family of modest means, and you went to public schools in a rough part of Queens. Did you have a goal when you started out that you were going to become one of the best investors of all time? Carl Icahn. I'm a very competitive guy. Passionate or obsessive, whatever you want to call it. And it's my nature that whatever I do, I try to be the best. When I was applying to colleges, my teachers told me, don't even bother with the Ivy League. They don't take kids from this area. I took the boards anyway, and I got into all of them. I chose Princeton. My father had offered to pay for everything, then he backed out and would only pay tuition, which, if you believe it, was $750 a year back then. I said, so where do I sleep? How do I eat? My parents said, you're so smart, you figure it out. Tony, so what did you do? Carl, I got a job as a beach boy at a club in the Rockaways. I was a good beach boy. The cabana owners used to say, hey kid, join our poker game and lose your tips for the week. At first I didn't even know how to play and they cleaned me out. So I read 3 books on poker in 2 weeks, and after that I was 10 times better than any of them. To me it was a big game, big stakes. Every summer I won about $2,000, which was like $50,000 back in the 50s. Tony, how did you get started in business? Carl, after college I joined the Army, where I kept playing poker. I came out with maybe $20,000 saved up and I started investing it on Wall Street, and in 1961, I was living good, had this gorgeous model girlfriend, and I bought a white Galaxy convertible. Then the market crashed in 1962 and I lost everything. I don't know what went first, the girlfriend or the car. Tony, I read that you got back in the market selling options, then going into arbitrage. Carl, I borrowed money to buy a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. I was a hotshot guy. My experience taught me that trading the market is dangerous, and it was far better to use my mathematical ability to become an expert in certain areas. Banks would loan me 90% of the money I needed for arbitrage because back then, in riskless arbitrage, if you were good, you literally couldn't lose. And I was starting to make big money, $1.5 to $2 million a year. Tony, I'd love to talk to you about asymmetric returns. Were you also looking for those when you began taking over undervalued companies? Carl, I started looking at these companies and really analyzing them. I tell you, it's sort of like arbitrage, but nobody appreciates that. When you buy a company, what you're really buying are its assets. So you've got to look at those assets and ask yourself, why aren't they doing as well as they should be? Fully 90% of the time, the reason is management. So we would find companies that weren't well run, and I had enough money that I could come in and say, I'm taking you over unless you change or unless the board does X, Y, or Z. A lot of times the board said, okay. But sometimes the management would fight us and perhaps go to court. Very few people had the tenacity I had or were willing to risk the money. If you looked at it, it appeared that we were risking a lot of money, but we weren't. Tony, but you didn't see it as risky because you knew the asset's real value. Carl, you look for risk/reward in the world, right? Everything is risk and reward. But you've got to understand what the risk is and also understand what the reward is. Most people saw much more risk than I did. But math doesn't lie, and they simply didn't understand it. Tony: why not? Carl: because there were too many variables and too many analysts that could sway your opinion. Tony: they're making it harder for you to beat them these days. Carl: